Welcome, wombat folk and trolls, sorcerers and orcs, to Rated RPG, the fantasy role-playing podcast where we toss dice and have fun adventures with our friends. This is the Valley of Green Gold, episode 55. In episode 54, the Whoop Whoop troop was nearing the top of the tower belonging to the wizard Maddox. They were engaged in a brutal combat with two mushroom-infused Tag Pub 7 constructs, very tough foes. They were able to defeat one, but Bunny and Clubhead were seriously wounded, and Clubhead and Wendell were both running low on spell slots, and Silbeth is still cursed without her magic. It was starting to look like they needed a miracle, and that's when Bunny DePayne took a chance on his new deity, Paracone, to deliver one. He put his Paracoin in Silbeth's hand and invoked his name. Silbeth goes into a trance. She meets Paracone, and he says in exchange for becoming a follower of his, he would remove the curse. Silbeth doesn't believe she's cursed, so she was hesitant to make such a deal. After all, she's been a lifelong devotee of the Ophidian god Nayoko Monene. But when Paracone shows her in a vision all the trouble the curse has caused for her and her friends, she quickly makes a deal with him and returns at full power. She uncorks some sorcery, destroyed the remaining tag pub, and has saved the party.
Silbeth, are you back?
I'm here. Thank you. I met your god.
You met Paracone. What did he say?
Well, he's my god too now.
Yes! Join the team!
He made me a deal that he would take the curse off of me if I worshipped him and spread the word, and I really had no choice because he showed me what was happening to me. Don't ever let that happen to me again, everyone.
Yeah!
Right, okay, sure.
Are you sure that you're cured? Wait a minute, let's test this. Wendell casts a mage hand and moves it over to Silbeth's shoulder and starts massaging it.
I do the same back to him.
Oh my god, this is amazing.
Can you guys do a mage hand fist bump?
Yes.
Yes, of course.
Can you play rock, paper, scissors with mage hands?
Sure.
Here's the church. Here is the steeple. Open it up
yes.
And see all the people.
Let's do it. 1, 2, 3, 4. I declare thumb war.
Oh, you got me. You really are back.
I'm back.
Yay! It just got real wholesome.
Everybody gets inspiration. If you've spent it, you're all inspired by this. Such a wonderful time.
Wow. I can't believe that I put you all through that.
Well, look, friendship is sometimes about picking up when other people fall or turn into plants or throw trolls at you multiple times. It's fine, but I'm glad you're back.
Whew. I mean, that's the worst possible curse I can imagine.
Well, it taught me an awful lot about friendship, you know? Because if you were somebody who I didn't care so much about, I might have just killed you because you were getting real annoying.
Yeah, I mean, I remember everything. I was horrible, you know? I can't even believe it.
Well, I'm sorry I had to convince you that I was using Mungic and not magic, but hopefully you can forgive me, understanding the circumstances.
I mean, that might be the most amazing part of the whole thing, is that I believed that.
Wendell's got a silver tongue we've discovered. He gaslights for good.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it was because of the curse that I believed it?
Yes, you were befuddled.
Part of me still desperately wanted to believe that some kind of magic existed, but I can't even believe I fell for that at all.
I think there was a small part of you that was fighting the curse, and so you mustered all your willpower and convinced your cursed brain to believe something so stupid and ridiculous.
Yeah.
Just for your friend's benefit.
Underneath yeah. all those layers of devastating random destruction, the real Silbeth was there somewhere.
It's true. I'm back, and I'm happy, boys.
Me too. I'm really, really hurt right now.
Yeah, I'm not doing too great either.
Yeah, I think we all need a real nice long break.
Yeah.
If we can find somewhere safe.
Yeah. This, like, plateau is fairly safe if all the tag pubs are dead, right?
I guess that's a big if.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I have a theory.
Oh, what's your theory?
Well, you know those scratches we saw on the wall and the fact that these tag pubs are all mushroomed up and stuff? I think they've sort of been mindlessly continuing to build the tower on their own.
Oh. Ooh, and defend it from anyone who comes close.
Yes, because the craftsmanship, once you get up to a certain point, was significantly worse.
Do you think maybe that means the necromancer's not here?
I mean, it's certainly a possibility, but I guess we still have to find out, huh?
Yeah.
And are there any more farther up the tower?
Right.
There had to be something, you know, throwing rocks at us from up there.
Yeah. Do we know, Jason, if these all came from above or not?
There was one here when you arrived in this area, and the other one did come from above. Now, the one that was already here, you threw off, and it came back up the steps.
Yeah, I mean, there certainly could be more. I have no idea.
It seems unlikely that there are more, because I feel like they all would have come down.
Right.
Unless there are some even higher up on the tower than that three-armed one was.
Hmm.
Regardless, I don't think we should go further up the tower. I think that's inviting too much danger.
You mean at all, or until we rest?
Until we rest.
Oh, good. I was hoping you weren't suggesting not going to the top of the tower.
Nah, I'm gonna nope out. I'm done. See you later.
There could be some very interesting things up there, so please don't nope out on us.
How could we make this area safer just in case there's more of those?
I suggest a bunch of wooden spikes. That'll protect us from undead.
But aren't they back in the wagon?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Could we seal off the door to the, like, stairs with the rocks in the meantime?
You could, yeah. It would take some time, but yeah.
If you guys have a better idea, Bonnie's a pretty straightforward guy. I see rocks, I see a door, we could put rocks in the door.
That's true. Well, Wendell, I remember you telling me one stormy night about a spell you were researching. Did you not finish your research on that one? It was a tiny hut of some kind?
Yes, I could make us a tiny hut.
Well, that certainly sounds useful.
Okay. Well, I will need about an hour just to, study and make sure that I do it right.
We'll watch you back.
I will use my arcane recovery ability.
Ooh, nice.
Nice.
Yeah. That gives you spell slots that align with half your spellcaster level, if I'm remembering correctly.
And do I get to round up on that? Otherwise, I can't do it.
Well, Tiny Hut is a ritual.
Oh, yeah.
Which means you do not need to spend a spell slot to cast it.
Ah, yes. Thank you for reminding me. Excellent.
Emery's so smart.
Wendell creates a 10-foot radius immobile dome of force right out in the rock area.
A tiny hut for your tiny butt.
That's right. We can all hang out inside there for
8 hours.
8 hours.
Just enough time to do a long rest.
Get a nice long sleep.
A moment of silence for Leomund, who they took his name off of this spell.
It's Wendell's tiny hut now, bitch.
Yes.
All right.
This is my tiny hut. I came up with this.
I see.
Beautiful job, guys. You're able to rest up in the tiny hut.
Huzzah!
Sweet.
It's wonderful.
Guys, I had a third level spell slot that I was holding onto that entire time for Revivify.
Because
I was really sure one of y'all were going to die.
Yeah, no doubt.
You were not wrong in that thinking, dude.
If there was just one more tag pub, I think that would have happened. Those things are tough. After a well-deserved long rest, the party wakes in Wendell's tiny hut, and you emerge one by one to greet the new day as the sun rises over the mountains that loom above you, and its rays warm the valley of green gold that stretch for many, many miles to the west.
I gotta say, it's a heck of a view, guys.
The fog is still there, however.
That I can't see, but I can just imagine through that fog.
Boys, I think this fog might be Mungic.
Yes, I agree.
You're the best, Wendell.
We should just continue to call it this. I think just like Liam's name got erased, we should also be changing the names of other things.
Yes.
Oh, now we have this great inside joke.
All right, so you have a decision to make. Are you going to go up and explore the rest of the top of the tower, or are you going to go back down?
This is going to be tough without Krogi to take all the traps, but I guess we head towards the entrance to go upstairs. Or at least I do. I mean, I'd speak for everyone, but I'll start the head up there.
Like, looking down over the edge, about how far up the tower are we?
Three quarters,
okay.
100 feet.
Right.
Nearest you can tell. The top of the tower is obscured by this fog.
Okay.
As we all walk across the area in between the tower and the mountain, and everybody goes in the door. Wendell hangs back a little bit and just one last time listens over the edge just to see if there's any sound, the sound of anything.
Howl! Howl, howl, howl! You hear a lone wolf in the distance.
Oh, I think Croaky has croaked.
Oh.
Wendell looks a little wistful that his, you know, first creation has passed on for good.
Godspeed, little buddy.
I'm going to cast Mage Armor.
Nice. Get that, AC 16?
Well, it's 13 plus dex, so I'll have 14 at least.
All right.
I'm going to cast False Life. Give myself the bonus points.
Bonus hit points. I'll have you all make a group stealth check.
20.
One.
Oh, dear.
Three.
Oh, dear.
Tough scene. Come on, Emery. I need you.
Hey, 17.
Yes!
What is Silbeth doing and Wendell? What are they doing that's making so much noise?
I am casting all of my cantrips one by one. Enjoy.
Wendell was trying to munch down a bunch of leftover pie, and he just drops the whole like tin and all the pie on the floor, and he's scraping it off the ground.
12 lemon meringue pie.
Oh, you're not terribly stealthy, but the front two of you at least are being very quiet. So good job for you guys, Clubhead and Bunny. As you head up the tower, you do notice that the craftsmanship here is not great. There are far more gaps in the stone than there have been. It does look like whoever has been constructing this tower or whatever has been constructing this tower has just kind of been going through the motions. You notice that the stones underneath your feet are even a little bit wobbly. Wendell, this is difficult terrain for you unless you're being carried on someone's back or something.
Yes, I will see if Bunny will carry me as per usual.
Yeah, let's go, man. Let's get it. Yeah.
Thanks, I really appreciate this.
No worries, dog. We got this.
If we're being stealthy, can I cast spells? Or is that going to just ruin stealth?
I wouldn't say it would wreck stealth. I think stealth might have already been a little bit wrecked.
Alright. Yeah, I'm going to cast some guidance on myself. Just makes sense. Keep that up.
Alright, everybody give me a perception check.
Oh, geez. Do I even need it right now?
Wow.
I got a 26 plus a 1. 27.
21!
28.
With a 21, Bunny DePayne, you can tell that there's a lot of fresh air flowing in through all of these gaps in the stone. And as you're walking up the steps, you realize that these steps are pretty wobbly. The higher you go, the less safe this tower feels. Feels like it could start falling over at any moment. And Silbeth, you sense the same feeling. Wendell, all you sense is just how good that pie was, boy. Miss June.
And actually, Wendell's starting to realize that maybe, you know, it wasn't as good as he thought, and he's starting to get some indigestion. Have to create a few extra cubes today.
But, Clubhead, with your 27 perception, you've asked the mushrooms of the world to grant you guidance, and they have. And that's when you see a little leather-bound journal stuffed into a crack in the wall.
I'm so good at finding journals, guys. I found one in the slimy troll hut.
Yeah.
Now I found one in the tower. I'll stop, and I'll be like, hey, guys, look, a journal.
As you open this thing up, you realize that almost all of the pages have been torn out. There's really only a few pages in it.
Ooh.
And in those pages, you see drawings of mushrooms.
Oh, guys, don't look. This is lewd.
Okay.
One of those mushrooms is the gray spherical mushrooms that were covering those tag pubs.
Ooh. Are there notes or is it just drawings?
The note under this one says gray puffballs, and that's all it says underneath that. And then there's another mushroom that's drawn on there. It's red, and you recognize it.
Oh my god, it's the asshole mushroom that you killed.
Fritz!
Underneath that mushroom, it says very poisonous, exclamation point.
Yeah, I knew that asshole was toxic.
And then the third mushrooms that you see It's a tiny little clump that are shaded blue. You've never seen mushrooms like these.
Is there a note for that one?
The blue ones, it doesn't have a note on it at all.
Okay.
On the final page, the wizard Maddox is dead, as is the rest of my party. We came upon his body in his study, encased in a crystal tomb, a hidden room behind a false wall in the entry chamber. It was then that a darkness fell upon us, and with it a relentless assault. Small creatures tearing at us until my party fell. I escaped into the tower, but I cannot remain here. There is danger all around.
Oh, wow. Is there a name anywhere on this journal?
Nope.
Can we tell, like, how old the journal is? Like, does this look like recent writing, like the last month? Or?
Give me a history check.
Oh, great. Buddy the Pain, historian number one. An eight.
Could be 100 years, could be a day.
Do any of us recognize the handwriting?
You don't recognize the handwriting as anyone that you've seen handwriting from.
Okay.
Poring over it a little bit, you're able to determine that it was within the last 10 years, probably. Okay. Just based on the journal and the condition of it, yeah, it was tucked away in a crack in the tower where it was very difficult to see, so it was protected from the elements, but probably within the last 10 years.
And where did it say they found Maddox's body?
We came upon his body in his study, encased in a crystal tomb, a hidden room behind a false wall in the entry chamber.
Yeah.
You know that you're getting closer to the top of the tower, too.
Well, I mean, going back down to the bottom wouldn't be that difficult or time-consuming, so we could.
I was wondering, should we go upstairs and then go down, or... I mean, if we've come this far, but I'm also wondering, are there more tag pubs? I'm going to be very honest with you. Like, is someone else still building onto this? Because it's been going on for at least a couple years, right? And there was no body, like, we don't see any remnants of the dude, like, skeleton or anything?
You haven't seen anything like that. What you've learned since you've been on Crow Island is basically that this tower is very mysterious. The wizard Maddox hasn't been seen in, like, decades, since about the time Barnaby disappeared. So it's been a long time since anyone has seen Maddox. Some people say he's dead. Solaren Ravensmead said, he's like, I'm not going to go anywhere near that tower. Is he dead? I don't know. Probably, maybe, who knows?
Is someone taking out the original party?
Could be.
Because it's weird, right? If they, I mean, I guess people died over a long enough period of time.
Yeah.
But they both died in very strange places, and I'm just thinking out loud at this point.
Just one more question. I'm sorry I keep asking this, basically, but does it say that his body was in a hidden room off of his study, or that his study is the hidden room?
We came upon his body in his study, encased in a crystal tomb, a hidden room behind a false wall in the entry chamber.
Uh-huh.
However you interpret that. And then it says, a darkness fell upon us, and with it a relentless assault. Small creatures tearing at us as my party fell.
Okay.
Dang. Okay. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a hidden room that has some sort of a trap that triggers.
I don't think his study would be on the ground floor, though.
Where else could it be? So we came in, then there was, like, the staircases. We found that, like, one secret room with the molten thing.
And inside the closet, there was a hole in the wall on the floor, kind of.
And then we just kept going up the stairs, and we came to the tag pubs. So, I mean, there's only been, like, two rooms, right?
Yeah. Actually, now that I think about it, you know, if Silbeth's theory is correct, these upper floors didn't even exist when Maddox was alive.
Okay, well, let's go to the top of the tower and see what's up there.
Yeah, I think we should keep going up and just finish.
All right.
Let's do it, guys. Yeah.
All right. So you continue up the rest of the tower, and it's not far that you emerge. It sort of looks like the building was in process, and there's a pile of rocks, very similar in size and shape to the ones that hit Clubhead and Silbeth, nearly knocking you both unconscious. Amidst the pile of rocks, you see a few broken weapons, you see a few broken tools, you see a tag pub arm that is mangled and busted up. And you see a satchel.
Hmm.
Reach for the satchel.
All right, so Bunny's grabbing it.
Well, I'm a little leery to grab random things now.
Yeah, let me get cursed.
It's probably the satchel that belongs to the man who wrote that note.
Bunny grabs it. You open it up. Take a look.
Yeah.
Inside, you find a copy of the Merchant Harbor Gazette.
And you stop believing that combat is real.
Wait. Today's edition?
No, it's a really old edition of the Merchant Harbor Gazette from a really long time ago.
Oh, nice.
Guys, okay, this is crazy. So it says here Brian Smallberries just invented the world's first handless orgasm?
Whoa, what?
How could you? What is that even? He's a genius. I need to find this guy.
But I've been able to achieve orgasm handless for many years.
It was such a long time ago. I bet the technology has fallen out of existence.
It's a lost art form.
That's true.
If only we could find it, we could be millionaires.
Look at this one. It says, extra, extra. Super Justin 64 builds first docks into the harbor.
How long ago was this?
This is really a long time ago. This is when the docks were first built.
We're looking at history, guys.
Yeah, this one says that GBS Trek was just born. A healthy baby horse? I think that must be a typo. GBS Trek isn't a horse, right?
Maybe the one we know was named after the horse.
Maybe.
Oh, look at this. This is interesting. Spidey Mouse, who is apparently a frog researcher, has discovered that there is a red frog on the island that you can lick that tastes like rancid ball sacks.
Wow. Like, why have we heard of that today?
I don't know.
Why is that newsworthy?
Slow news day, huh?
Amazing relic we've discovered.
Did they try to hide that information?
Yeah, I bet it's all been suppressed.
Yeah.
Huh.
The woke agenda hit Crow Island.
Oh. Wow, so this might have been the last issue until it started back up again.
Yeah.
Wow, they must have published something nasty about Jackson.
It says here, Jackson Wynne was named the first mayor of Merchant Harbor, and in his first official act, he's shutting down the Merchant Harbor Gazette. Wow. You know what else you find in the bottom of this satchel as you're rooting around in there?
What?
You find some gifts from the table of potentially decent random stuff.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
No offense. Love the fans. I'm a lot less excited than I used to be.
Well, we'll have another long streak of luck, I'm guessing.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll be fine again.
Who's going to grab the first one? Who's me. Feeling brave? Okay, Clubhead or Emery, as it were?
Yeah, D100?
D100.
Okay, 84.
Oh my God, you find, I don't know how it fit in this satchel, but you find a small goat. It's a live goat with nubbins for horns.
With what for horns?
Little nubbins. Little tiny nubs for horns.
Nubbins. This thing's way too cute to be cursed. I love it.
There's a little tag on its neck. It says, a gift for you, a new friend for Clubhead from the Duke. The Wizard Weary.
Wow. Can't believe it didn't eat that old paper.
Well, that's because it's a meatitarian, obviously. Wow. How did he know? What? This is crazy.
Does it have a name?
There's no name on the tag. I guess you get to name it.
Oh, boy. What should we name it then?
Gautier.
I'd say the goatest of all time.
Croaky? No.
Goatsy!
Goatsy. Yeah, Goatsy.
Yeah, okay.
No, we're going with Goatsy.
Yeah, weird that there was a live goat in this satchel that seems to have been up here for a really long time.
It's actually not that weird. It's me, Hal Thompson.
Oh.
You would be surprised where you'll find live goats these days.
Wait, was he in the bag too?
Is Hal in the bag?
Poke my head up for a second. I gotta run. See ya.
There's something else in here. Who's grabbing this thing?
Boy, should I jump back on the horse and take one of these things?
Listen, yeah. We got Paracon on our side. It'll never happen again.
All right. We'll see. I'll take a chance. Here we go. 68.
Almost.
You find a rolled up piece of vellum. It's a paper made from animal membrane. And on it is a very basic map drawn with black ink. You can tell that it's been crudely cut down the middle with the starting point being a north-facing beach at the top of the page and a trail that leads to the west along a shoreline and around a small mountainous peak in the middle of the page.
Oh.
You have half of a pirate treasure map, but not the part with the X on it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, somebody else has to roll a 68 again. We'll get the other half.
Or 69, which might be the other half.
All right, here we go. 10!
So, Bunny, you see something down in the bottom of the satchel. This is the last item in the satchel. It is a dead fish.
Oh.
This is how the goat stayed alive, guys!
Okay.
Well, like, there used to be a lot more dead fish in there. That's just the last one.
Wait, should I try to speak with this fish?
Yeah, speak with fish. You know that spell.
Well, wait.
Well, I mean, what if it doesn't speak any languages, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right.
You could raise it from the dead, and I could speak with it.
I have a better idea. Why don't I cast Identify on everything you just took out of that bag?
Yes!
All right. Are you doing Identify?
Let's do it.
That's how it works, right? You can tell if something's cursed?
Generally, you can't.
But, I mean, you can tell if they're magical.
All right. Screw it. Wendell will cast Identify on the dead fish.
It is a perch. It is a perch.
It's a perch. It's not magical.
It is a completely ordinary, dead, desiccated, and dried out dead fish.
I bet you it's mungical, though.
I feel like you might be not aware that it costs 100 gold pearl every time you cast Identify.
No, I was aware.
Oh, what?
Yes, and an owl feather. I wanted to see if it was magical.
You spent 100 gold on my fish? You are a great guy.
You could have bought so many dead fish with that 100 gold.
All right. So that's the extent of everything that's up here at the top of the tower. You found it all.
Hey, let's go.
And that is episode 55 of The Valley of Green Gold. Thank you very much for enjoying what we do. We are really lucky and fortunate to be able to play Dungeons & Dragons with our friends and actually share it with you. So thank you for being a part of that. What We Do in the Shadowfell is our monthly rated RPG live stream. It happens the last Tuesday of each month. And the next session is Tuesday, April 30th. Our last live stream was amazing. It ended on a huge cliffhanger. You can watch the replay at twitch.tv/gamesocietypimps. We used to put them on our website, but we do not have a website anymore. Part of the fiscal responsibility was like, nobody's going to the website, so let's just drop it and we'll switch everything over to Patreon, because you can join our Patreon for $0. You can join as a free member, and we're gonna move everything over to our Patreon page. And if you want to give us a couple of bucks a month, please consider it, because we would be very grateful. We love the wonderful folks who provide us with rations and adventuring gear at $5 a month: Eli Chafin, Schmoopy, and the Misanthrope, just to name a few. Many thanks to our $15 a month tier, the gorgeous Phoenix Brigade. Members in good standing include H.D. Burke and John W. Mangrum. All hail the GPB. Thank you to the wizard-weary Duke of Lux and to the Duke's Turtle and Crow at our Duke tier, $50 a month. Thank you very much. And our $25 a month tier, the Merchant Harbor Gazette tier. Supporters getting some love, or recognition anyway, this episode. I did roll a D20 for Goatsy and the half a treasure map and the dead fish, but I'm not going to tell you if any of those things are cursed. You'll find out when the players do. Throughout the history of Crow Island, brave adventurers have made their fortunes here, and some have taken on the mission of killing the monsters in the mines, becoming notable heroes, while others have found, typically less dangerous means by which to fill their coin purse. Manflesh and Chris Fale are among the latter. You see, there's a spell called Flame Blade, and it requires a material component, the Leaf of Sumac. Well, Chris and Manflesh heard that there was some unique flora, specifically some sort of enormous sumac plant in the moist lands. They went there and they found this mega sumac bush, and they started picking leaves off of it. And they're going to turn around and sell those leaves for the spell component. It's not poisonous. but it is sentient, and it's very aggressive, and it's carnivorous. So it's kind of like the plant in the Little Shop of Horrors, and it just chomped the hell right out of him. When it finally spat out Chris and Manflesh's bones, we got them, and we put them in the bucket of friends, and now they're clattering around in there. So on behalf of everyone around Ye Old Gaming Table, take care of your friends, and thank you for enjoying the Rated RPG podcast.